Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
This morning, we're lucky enough to spend time with a fascinating artistic couple who reside part-time in our region, Neil Gaiman and Amanda Palmer. Amanda Palmer's new book, The Art of Asking, is part manifesto, part revelation, and a little bit how-to guide. Palmer, Gaiman's wife, and one half of the band The Dresden Dolls, had a break from her record label and asked her fans to fund the money for her next venture via Kickstarter. She asked for $100,000 and received $1.2 million. From this successful experiment in asking for help, she has produced a philosophy of asking built on the pillars of trust, reciprocity, and couch surfing. Neil Gaiman is the best-selling author of short fiction, novels, comic books, graphic novels, audio theater, and films for children and adults alike. A pillar of modern fantasy writing, he has received many, many prestigious awards. The story of Hansel and Gretel, one of his favorite tales from his childhood, is his latest book. He last was with us in July to discuss The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains, which came out in July, which is also an amazing audiobook narrated by Neil himself. Also amazing is Amanda Palmer's The Art of Asking audiobook, which is written, read, and sung by Palmer, which also has an original exclusive performance of Amanda's Bigger on the Inside. It's a great pleasure to welcome Amanda Palmer and Neil Gaiman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us, Joe.
Always nice to have you here. So, Amanda, you're the one on the active book tour right now for Art of Asking. How is it going?
Oh, it's going wonderfully. I'm a touring veteran, but I'm used to touring rock and roll and songwriting, and
right.
and touring a book has been slightly different. But I'm still playing music, and I mean, if you could see the last 48 hours of my life, it's hilarious. I did a show in L.A., which was one of those nights where everything was a debacle and, the venue was messy and lots of things were disorganized. And, I had a crazy heckling girl in the audience and everything went long. And it was just one of those everything went wrong days. And so I fixed it yesterday when I got to Denver, where instead of doing a big venue, I was just doing a bookstore. But the bookstore was a big bookstore, fit 500 or 600 people.
Sure.
And I asked on Twitter and Facebook for my fans to bring blankets and pillows, and we made a gigantic pillow fort, blanket fort, in the bookstore. And instead of just sitting at a table and signing books, I cuddled up in the pillow fort, let everyone have a cuddle and a photo, and I signed my books from bed. And it was amazing.
That's the coolest thing.
That's just the last 2 days.
Well, and that speaks to the whole point of the book, doesn't it? The art of asking. So you've asked your fans to come out and do this, and they do it.
Well, yeah, and then everybody wins because everybody gets a cuddle.
Right.
It's really nice.
Neil, I'm sure you can attest to the power of her cuddles.
The finest of all cuddles. But I just love how different she and I are. Because, I remember there was when I was on tour for The Ocean at the End of the Lane last year, there was a point where everything went wrong, and I did a signing. It was the day that the plane fell in half on San Francisco, and that I was meant to be leaving, half an hour before the plane fell in half, or after the plane fell in half. And they closed down all the runways, and I wound up getting from San Francisco to Michigan on 1.5 hours sleep, and getting there four hours late, and going on and doing an event for nearly 2,000 people that went until 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm listening to Amanda just going, I could have had them bring blankets. Bring pillows.
Why don't I
think like her?
The irony, just so you know, the irony of asking everyone to bring blankets and pillows and making the gigantic blanket fort is that my signing probably took an extra 2 hours because
sure.
physically holding everybody did add time and energy to my day. But it was worth it because I needed it just as much as they did.
I want to touch on the book and just use that as a jumping off point. But in doing that, in that asking, there is a trust that people will do it and that it will work out.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway. And I mean, not only do you have to trust that things are going to work out, you have to expect that sometimes they're not, and you have to live with that, you know. You have to live with the flip side, which is you have to live with the disappointment or the rejection or the breach of trust or, you know, the violation that can come with trusting people so easily, because of course that happens. And if it didn't happen, there would be no risk, and there would be no risk in trusting people so much. So, you know, it definitely fills your life out and turns the volume up in both directions. You just need to be willing to handle both sides of the coin.
I listened to this book. It's an amazing audio book in which you read and you sing in the book. One of the great points, I think, and what's fascinating about it is you also have to know the title of the book, The Art of Asking, but that figuring out of what to ask for.
Right.
Of knowing what to ask for is fascinating.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is one I'd love to get Neil to weigh in on, too, because we, you know, we come from different cultures. I was talking to someone, a journalist, a couple days ago about, you know, the difference between asking in British culture and an American culture. And, you know, if you're good at asking, there is a real understanding of boundaries and graciousness and what is too much to ask for and how to ask and when. And what attitude you bring towards the person you're asking, so that you're not demanding something from them or guilt tripping them or making them feel imposed upon. And that's really, really subtle stuff. You can't just give someone a list of 10 things to do when asking, because every single situation is so different. And one of the things I really dig into in the book is is this rock and roll person out there, you know, accepting help from strangers and asking for help from my fans and all this sort of stuff? There's another realm of asking in interpersonal relationships, when you need something in your marriage or from your best friend or from your family. You know, just because you're good at asking in one area doesn't necessarily mean it translates into another. Some people are great at asking in business and can ask for a raise, but have a really hard time asking for what they need emotionally from their husband or wife. And thinking about all of this stuff was really fascinating. And, you know, and I had a great partner in Neil with the book. He not only helped me edit it, but, you know, this is the topic of our life as two people in a human relationship. We face this stuff on a daily basis.
I definitely felt, I was rather surprised, because, you know, Amanda went off to write her book about the art of asking, and I thought it was all going to be her TED talk writ large and writ longer, and, you know, wasn't surprised that it was also this wonderful memoir about, you know, her time as a bride, as a human statue, the 8-foot bride and stuff. But the point where I suddenly realized it was also very much a book about our marriage as a kind of petri dish, in which Amanda got to find out, who is so good at asking for everything from her fans, found it so difficult to ask for things, whether it was just a hug or financial support or you know, any of the other ways that I could help, to ask for help from me. And that fascinated me. You know, it's a peculiarly brave book. And it's, as you said, it's halfway between a memoir and a manifesto. And I decided the other day, when people ask me what kind of a book it is, I'm going to tell them it is a memoir-festo.
I like that.
As good memoirs should be, otherwise they're boring.
Absolutely. Are you comfortable with asking, Neil, back to Amanda's earlier point of the cultural differences?
Again, I think all people have their areas where they're comfortable asking things, and people have their limitations on the places where they are incredibly uncomfortable asking. I could go out and ask 2.1 million people to help support the work that I've been doing for the UNHCR, the United Nations Refugee Agency. I can do that without blinking. Asking a total stranger for directions, and I'm doomed. Amanda will look on me and, you know, pityingly wind down the window and ask people how to get places, unable to understand why I'm absolutely frozen.
Do you understand, because I think many of us feel that way at times, where, and I think that's exactly the word, is you feel frozen, that there you don't want to put people out, and you feel as though there's pressure on you to deal with it yourself, that we have a culture that sort of dictates that to us.
Oh, I think that is the pity of being human, is we are these wonderful groups of people who by nature actually are incredibly supportive. You know, most people like to support other people. Most people like to help. If you stop and ask me for directions, I will try and help you and tell you where to go. I don't mind being asked for directions, but asking somebody else is hard. Asking somebody for money is hard. Asking somebody sometimes for emotional support is hard. So I've learned, you know, I learned so much reading Amanda's book. You know, right, I did a sort of an editorial pass right at the end when she'd been working on it for 9 months, and she handed it to me for 3 days, and we got to have these wonderful arguments. I would say things like, I won awards for writing. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, dear.
Were they really arguments, Amanda? Would you qualify them as arguments?
They were fun arguments. I mean, in the spirit of my own book, I put an immense amount of trust into Neil's editorial abilities because I really trust him. I mean, I laugh and I jest, but, you know, Neil hasn't won a lot of awards for his writing because of coincidence. He understands something about the way books work and the way people take in information and the way they thread things together and how long you can ramble on a subject before you lose a reader's interest. And these are things I trust him. He's an expert in books. And so, you know, we had a lot of back and forth and arguments, you know, where Neil would say, I think you really ought to cut this. You know, it's just not working. It doesn't fit in this book. But also, you know, as a songwriter and a writer and the person who knows what I'm trying to get across, I probably took in 95% of what he had to say and trusted it. But then I also, you know, the stuff where at a gut level and an instinctual level, I was like, no, you know, we can't cut that. Mm. That's got to go in there or my point's really not going to get across. You know, Neil would bat it back to me and say, you know, I trust that you know that, and I trust that this is your book and you know where it needs to lead. And being able to have a creative, collaborative conversation like that and not get pissed at each other is a testament to our ability to communicate in general. Because, you know, when you're talking about a book, this is your baby. This is this thing that you've worked very, 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 very hard to create, and you've got a lot of investment in. And trusting another and trusting another's opinion, it's a real sign of love, I think.
I have to say, I was genuinely impressed that she let me right at the end, and she had been working, and she had a wonderful editor named Jamie Ian Swiss who had been working with her, and they'd been working together, and they had all of this material, and at the very end, she gave me the book, and it was due in 3 days' time, and I went and printed it out, and then started, you know, moving sections around and moving bits and doing things. And she trusted me and she let me do it. And it felt wonderful, actually, to have somebody trust you that much.
I was thinking about this as I was listening to the book. As writers, what do you ask of the audience? What do you ask of the reader?
What I want to do, to ask a reader, or in the case of audiobooks, become a listener is I want them to trust me enough to come with me. I want to do the equivalent of putting out my hand and say, hold my hand, it's going to be okay. You're with somebody who knows what they're doing, and we're going to go on a journey together. And with luck, when the journey is over, you won't be quite the same person that you were at the beginning of the journey. And most of the time, I feel like I am very, very trustworthy. Occasionally, I may lead them to the dark places in the middle of the woods and let go of their hand for a bit. But I like the idea that really what I'm saying to them is we're doing this together. Mm. But what I'm asking you is to give me your attention. Give me, even if it's an audiobook, don't be doing a million things. Drive or listen in a dark place, whatever, but give me your attention, because what I will give you back if you give me your attention is something more than you're expecting. It's something bigger than you're hoping for. But I can only do that if we collaborate, if we work together.
And Amanda, you look for that collaboration as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think I would say everything that Neil has said, and I think as a songwriter and as a musician, you know, who's more in the habit of asking people to watch me and listen to me, as a writer, you're hidden somewhere in there, but you're not physically presenting yourself for consumption the way you are as a stage performer. And I think as a stage performer especially, the thing I'm always asking of my audience is to really see me and take me as I am. And it's been a really interesting journey as a, you know, I started touring with the Dresden Dolls when I was 25. And starting from then, I was really fixated on my own imperfectness and pushing my own limits of what I would let the audience perceive in terms of my imperfectness. And that wasn't just as a player, who is like about as far from classical perfection as you can get. I mean, I'm a generally improvising piano player with a really imperfect voice. And I just let that extend to everything. And it was always about, you know, kind of dressing up, but, you know, wearing the outfit from yesterday and the tights that had rips and the hair that isn't done and allowing everyone to look at me as a performer, but really like as an over-accentuated real human being as a kind of an antidote for what I really, really didn't want to be, which is I didn't want to be a pop star who had to sit in the dressing room for 2 hours before the show and get hair and get makeup done and look perfect and sweat about every single last eyelash and nail lest the audience tear me apart for not being the perfect picture of a pop star. And instead, I thrust this imperfectness in their face and said, you've got to look at me as a human being. I demand it. And that was a really specific thing to ask. And I dare say, you know, asking that of my audience was what drew the audience that I got towards me. I did not turn on the people looking for pop perfection. I turned on the people who were really seeking a human connection. And that has reverberated throughout my entire career.
Amanda Palmer's new book is The Art of Asking. It's a fantastic audio book. Should also mention that Neil Gaiman's latest is The Story of Hansel and Gretel. And if you want to hear a great audiobook from him, The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains is a terrific production, as well as are many of his stories. Neil Gaiman and Amanda Palmer, I thank you both for being with us. Have a wonderful holiday season, safe travels, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe.
A great pleasure as always. Thank you.
Neil Gaiman and Amanda Palmer will support small businesses and indie bookstores on this big shopping weekend. They'll be at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson, and the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, greeting customers and selling books. You can find out more information about their appearances by going to the individual websites for those stores and locations. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.